This morning's scripture lesson comes from Luke, and we'll just pick up right where we left off last week. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has that name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give the child. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all the neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." And then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang this prophecy: "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for God has looked favorably on the people and redeemed them. God has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of God's servant David, as was spoken through the mouth of the holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus God has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered the holy covenant, the oath that was pledged to our ancestors, to grant us that we would be rescued from the hands of our enemies, that we might serve God without fear and holiness and righteousness before God all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, and you will go before the Lord to prepare the ways, to give knowledge of salvation to God's people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God. The dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." These are our sacred stories.
Thank you.
His name is John. The first Sunday of Advent, we heard Gabriel tell Zechariah that he and Elizabeth would have a son who would bring joy and gladness, and that this son should be named John. Also, on that Sunday, after the angel and Zechariah grew silent, we heard of joyful John leaping in his mother's womb when pregnant Mary comes to visit. The second Sunday of Advent is typically the John the Baptist week. Not baby John from our readings this year, no, adult John is our expected Advent friend. The lectionary invites us to consider him each Advent after he grows his hair long, dresses in camel hair, goes on that strange locust and honey diet, moves away from home out into the desert. Before John shouts about preparing the way, before he offers a watery baptism of repentance, before he calls his detractors snakes and fools, before our typical Advent readings about John, we have today's sacred story. As we read last week, Mary sings of God's justice, and when her song is stilled, we read, "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, 'No, he's to be called John.' And they said to her, 'But none of your relatives has this name.' Then they began motioning for his father to find out what he wanted to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, 'His name is John.' And all of them were amazed. And immediately Zechariah's mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. And fear came over all the neighbors. And all these things were talked about through the entire country of Judea. And all who heard them pondered them and said, 'What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him.' And then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang this prophecy. 'His name is John.'" His name is John. John means Yahweh is gracious. His name is John. Names take on a significance when the baby is considered a miracle. Or maybe that's just John and Jesus and my brother. I've been thinking a lot about my brother. You've met him. He was here Thanksgiving weekend and has come many other times. He's 30 now, just married, back just a few months ago from Qatar and preparing to ship out to England this summer. His name is Blake. Only that's his middle name. His first name is Matthew. Matthew means gift of Yahweh. His name is John, his mother told them. His name is John, his father wrote. They knew just what to name him. The angel had told them. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." We had no angel to give us ideas for Blake. Blake was born 3 months premature in 1987. He weighed 1 pound and 15 ounces. None of his doctors or nurses in the NICU expected him to live. His brother and sister did not expect him to live. His father did not expect him to live. His mother was dead. His mother, our mother, died the day that he was taken from her womb. And we had no angel to suggest a name. But about 2 months into his stay at the hospital, we did have a nurse. A nurse that suggested that baby Mayo really wasn't enough and that he needed a name. We visited the baby every morning. We dropped Steve off at middle school, went to the hospital to visit the baby, and then I was dropped off. I made my way late, as always, to my fourth grade classroom, where Miss Sperry, God bless her, smiled and never ever marked me tardy. His name is John. We didn't know what to name the baby other than Blake, which is a family name, and had been picked out by my mother and father. They knew Blake would be his middle name and that he would be called Blake. But what to do about his first name? Many ideas were suggested by the three of us until finally we all settled on Matthew. Matthew, meaning gift of Yahweh. I will confess to you that at 9 I was more angry at Yahweh, at God, than imagining that gifts were being given. I was angry that God had done nothing to prevent my mother's death. I was angry with the people who said things to me like, God needed your mother in heaven. God will use your mother's death to give you a powerful testimony so that you can lead others to Christ. This is God's will. Anger is a powerful ally in grief. It can get you out of bed when nothing else will. It can get you into conversations when you thought you only wanted to be alone. My anger helped me ask questions, helped me to challenge what I had been taught about God. Like many others before me, I had to sacrifice my certainty on God's altar. I had to let go of the God I had been taught to believe in, to never doubt. That letting go is an ongoing process. Even now, in my most vulnerable, when I'm frightened, the God I cry out to is much more like the all-powerful God of my childhood. But that God, that all-powerful God who could stop suffering but doesn't, that God is not a God I can cling to, not a God I can worship. His name is John. Elizabeth and Zechariah were clear. His name is Matthew. We did our best. John, God is gracious. Matthew, God's gift. God, how do we know God? How do we experience the divine? Not simply in births that involve a miracle, which truly is all births. Not simply in births of children, but also the births of ideas and ideals, of revolutions and peace. How do we experience the Holy One? His name is Matthew. We did not know what to name him, and we had no idea what his future might hold, if he would have a future at all. His name is John. They were sure. And not just about his name, they were sure about his destiny. His father sings, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the ways, to give knowledge of salvation to God's people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God. The dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. I have never known such sureness. I have known love. I have known presence. The angel said, even before John's birth, that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. The angel told Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And Zechariah, we read today, was filled with the Holy Spirit and began singing this prophecy. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes and the world is changed. Women prophesy and sing and bring into being children of promise. A man sings prophetic words of ways of peace. Advent is about waiting, and it's also about realizing what is already among us. In Luke's Christmas pageant, there's no threat from Herod against children as in Matthew's nativity. But that seems to be part of Luke's agenda. He doesn't use his story to confront the powers that be, but to pass them by and dismiss them entirely. Arguably, one of the most significant births in history is predicted, accomplished, and revealed entirely among the poor and inconsequential. A young, poor, unmarried woman, a couple too old, shepherds who were considered expendable outcasts of good society. God is revealed not in the halls of wealth and power, but among the destitute. God's love lives in the ordinary, and miracles happen. Luke confronts the religious and imperial powers which ruled his day by showing that it is the people, the ordinary common people who birth miracles, who will change the world, who will, by the tender mercy of God, see the dawn from on high break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. Maybe some of what the story of Luke is trying to tell us is that we all have names that portend a miracle. We are all children of promise, children of peace. It's not a matter of an angel or a nurse offering suggestion for our names, but rather a matter of recognizing the indwelling love of the divine, recognizing and celebrating and doing the work that is ours to do to make pathways of peace. His name is John. His name is Matthew. Her name is Liz. His name is Lewis. Her name is Brooke. Her name is Anne. His name is Sterling. It's your name. It's your song. Our song. The pathways of peace are ours to make. Let us make them together. Guide our feet, O God. Guide our feet in the way of peace. Amen.